Blog Talk Radio.
What were the odds you would even be you? With your uniquely you sneeze and your uniquely you health needs. 1 in 400 trillion, roughly. That's why Walgreens created something new with personalized real-time health alerts, cash rewards on everything, and pickup in as little as 30 minutes. Introducing My Walgreens, a whole new way to wellness.
You are now tuned into News Forum with Chinchilla J. Don't go away. News Forum will be broadcasting live in just a few moments, but first, this. Well, more trouble in the sky, this time on American Airlines. American Airlines has become very strict with their mask-wearing policy. A woman in Charlotte, North Carolina, was not allowed on her flight out of Charlotte Douglas Airport, all because of the type of mask she was wearing. Despite being offered a disposable mask, the passenger chose not to wear one provided by the airline, which meant she could not fly. The passenger's mask was see-through, but she claims it fits all of the protocol for a proper mask. But the agents at the gate said they could see her mouth and did not allow her to fly unless she used a mask provided by the airline, which she refused to do, so she was not allowed to fly. Well, kudos to you American Airlines for sticking to your guns. Well, I told you previously about chickens being created in labs, and of course you all know about genetically modified and genetically engineered foods. But now get this. Now scientists have created embryos that are part human and part monkey, using a mix of human cells and monkey cells. Scientists have created an embryo, part human, part monkey. Some bioethicists do not see this research as being ethically problematic because they say that people die every year in the United States waiting for an organ transplant. Insu Huan, a bioethicist at Case Western Reserve University and Harvard University, says that for years, researchers in the United States and beyond have been injecting human stem cells into sheep and pig embryos to see if they might eventually grow human organs in such animals for transplantation. But so far, that approach has not worked. The researchers then injected 25 cells known as induced pluripotent stem cells from humans, commonly called iPS cells, into embryos from macaque monkeys, which are much more closely genetically related to humans than are sheep and pigs. After one day, the researchers reported they were able to detect human cells growing in 132 of the embryos and were able to study the embryos for up to 19 days. That enabled the scientists to learn more about how animal cells and human cells communicate, an important step toward eventually helping researchers find new ways to grow organs for transplantation in other animals. Juan Carlos Espizua Belmonte, a professor in the Gene Expression Laboratory at the Salk Institute for Biological Sciences in La Jolla, California, Belmonte says that this knowledge will allow them to go back and to try to re-engineer these pathways that are successful for allowing appropriate development of human cells in these other animals. He also says that they're very excited, and such mixed species of embryos are known as chimeras, named for the fire-breathing creature from Greek mythology that is part lion, part goat, and part snake. Wow. Belmonte also says that his goal is not to generate any new organism or monster, and that they're not doing anything like that, but they're trying to understand how cells from different organisms communicate with one another. Well, it sounds pretty monstrous to me and mutant. Belmonte also says that He hopes that this kind of work can lead to new insights into early human development, aging, and the underlying causes of cancer and other diseases. But this type of scientific work and the possibilities it opens up raises serious questions for some ethicists. The biggest concern, they said, is that someone could try to take this work further and attempt to make a baby out of an embryo made this way. Specifically, the critics worry that human cells could become part of the developing brain of such an embryo and of the brain of the resulting animal. Should it be regulated as human because it has a significant portion of human cells in it? Or should it be regulated just as an animal or something else? And at what point are you taking something and using it for organs when it actually is starting to think and have logic? Another concern is that using human cells in this way could produce animals that have human sperm or eggs. Nobody really wants monkeys walking around with human eggs and human sperm inside of them, said one bioethicist from Stanford University. So basically, what they're saying is if a monkey with human sperm meets a monkey with human eggs, then a monkey could have a human embryo inside of its uterus. Ooh, could this be Planet of the Apes? And even more monstrous than that, humans can carry animals in their uteruses. And ultimately give birth to an animal. That is simply craziness. Well, here's a strange story. I remember when I was a child and we would get fresh vegetables, especially fresh greens. And sometimes they were so fresh, right out of the ground, that sometimes you would find a worm or two in the greens, which was pretty common back then, but not anymore. But now there's a guy who bought a bag of lettuce from Aldi's, and he got it home, opened the bag up, began to wash it out, and what did he find in his bag of lettuce? Well, it was not a worm, but it was a snake in the bag of lettuce. And he contacted Aldi's and, you know, and they tried to figure out where it came from, how it got in the bag and all that stuff, and tried to get it back to its natural habitat. But the salad, the lettuce, the guy said, he ate it, he washed it a few times, and he still devoured that lettuce. Now, is that crazy or what? I don't think I would have. And the snake was venomous. Don't lose any sleep over it, because that Aldi's was in Australia. On Friday, it was announced that Miami Heat legend Dwayne Wade had become a part owner of the Utah Jazz. Los Angeles Lakers champion LeBron James was very elated at the news of Dwayne Wade acquiring part ownership of the Utah Jazz. The two played together on the Miami Heat and briefly on the Cleveland Cavaliers. They won championships together on the Miami Heat in 2012 and in 2013. James and Wade have been close friends for a number of years. Wade is retired now from the game of basketball, but he's up to many things off the court. The 2006 NBA Finals MVP is involved in several business platforms, TV roles, and much more. Similarly, James is doing several jobs off the court as well. As a matter of fact, the four-time MVP recently became an owner of the Boston Red Sox. James is still focused on helping the Lakers defend their title. The Lakers hold a 34-22 record this season. On Friday, Governor Tom Wolf signed a proclamation activating more than 1,000 active duty Pennsylvania National Guard members to support local officials and law enforcement in Philadelphia. Per the city's request, BANG members will assist with traffic control, area security, and specifically security at critical infrastructure sites. This declaration allows the Commonwealth to take preemptive steps to ensure the safety of our fellow Pennsylvanians, Wolf said. The activation of the National Guard supports the current efforts in Philadelphia to protect our beloved neighbors and city. Prince Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh, and the late husband of Britain's Queen Elizabeth II, was laid to rest Saturday in the Royal Vault at St. George's Chapel. The funeral was a somber affair, full of tradition and reverence. West Virginia is opening up its arms and, importantly, its wallet to lure in those likely to be working from home for some time after the COVID-19 pandemic. The state announced Monday it would give people $12,000 cash with no strings attached to move to its confines. Also included is 1 year of free recreation at the state's various public lands, which it values at $2,500. Once all the particulars of the plan are added up, West Virginia says the total value to a person is $20,000. The initiative is being made possible after a $25 million donation from Intuit's executive chairman and former longtime CEO, Brad D. Smith, and his wife, Alice. Robert Ross, better known as the East Harlem rapper, Black Rob, died yesterday at the age of 51. Rob would have turned 52 on July 12th. Rob was signed to Sean Combs, a.k.a. Puff Daddy, P. Diddy's label, Bad Boy Records. Black Rob was known for his hit single, which made it to the Billboard Top 100, Whoa! Last weekend, while on his sick bed, Black Rob sent shout-outs and prayers to DMX, who was hospitalized as well. DMX passed away last week, and now Black Rob this week. Who's next? Death usually comes in threes. Rob passed away last night at Grady Memorial Hospital in Atlanta. And now for all of you potheads, stoners, cannabis users, and weed smokers, what are you doing for 20? Last year, it was a complete wipeout due to COVID-19, and the cannabis industry conferences and festivals were either postponed or canceled. But festivals are being planned for this year. Some are virtual, while others are in person. To get a complete list of scheduled events, cancellations, and question marks, just go to Mike Test Entertainment TV's Facebook page. We'll have a complete listing of all of the events, conferences, and festivals for 420 throughout the country. And now it's time for coronavirus updates, and I'm almost done. The United States of America is still the epicenter for this coronavirus pandemic. The United States has the most deaths as well as the most coronavirus infections out of all of the infected countries worldwide, which there are 219 infected countries. Right now, the United States, as of 6:15 this evening, the United States had 32,403,382 infections, 581,061 coronavirus deaths. India is second with 15,057,767 infections. Brazil is third, 13,943,071 infections. Then it's France, 5,289,526. Russia is number five, 4,702,101 infections. Then it's the United Kingdom, Turkey, Italy, Spain, and Germany make up your top 10 countries worldwide with the most coronavirus infections. In the United States of America, California is still the epicenter for both cases and deaths. Right now, California has 3,718,412 infections, 61,033 coronavirus deaths. Texas is second, 2,854,062. Then it's Florida, 2,168,901. New York is number four, 2,044,458 infections. Then it is Illinois, 1,302,241. Then it's Pennsylvania, number six. Georgia, Ohio, New Jersey, and North Carolina make up the top 10 states in the United States of America with the most coronavirus infections. In the state of Pennsylvania, Philadelphia is still the epicenter for both cases as well as coronavirus deaths. Philadelphia has 140,229 infections, 3,390 coronavirus deaths. Then it's Allegheny County, Montgomery County, Bucks County, Lancaster County, Delaware County, Berks County, York County, Chester County, and Lehigh counties make up your top 10 counties in the state of Pennsylvania out of all the 67 counties. Those are the top 10 with the most coronavirus infections and the most coronavirus deaths. In the state of California, Los Angeles is still the epicenter for both infections as well as coronavirus deaths. Right now, Los Angeles has a total of 1,228,997 coronavirus infections and 23,653 coronavirus deaths. Then it's Riverside, San Bernardino, San Diego, Orange County, Santa Clara, Kern, Sacramento, Fresno, and Alameda. And those are your top 10 in California with the most infections. And lastly, worldwide total infections, 141,980,237, and worldwide deaths, 3,031,995. This is Chinchilla Jonesia reporting for News Forum. Here's to your health as a full supply of herbal supplements and vitamins, 100% natural for every type of ailment you can think of. Guess what? Here's to your health has something for you, from arthritis to zits. Guess what? We can help you get well and stay well. Give Here's to Your Health a call today, 973-833-3793. All products are 20% off for spring. This is the spring special. Corona Rescue Pack, Anti-Corona Pack, COVID-19 Recovery Pack, all weight loss packages and weight loss products, fibroids be gone, female support products, men support products, fertility herbs, and impotency herbs as well. Here's to Your Health has something better than Viagra Men, so give Here's to Your Health a call today, 973-833-3793. News Forum is brought to you by the ONE Network and Looking Glass Entertainment. And now to the live scheduled broadcast. News Forum with Chinchilla is a syndicated radio show with over 6 million listeners. Hey everybody, this is your girl Chinchilla. Welcome to another segment of News Forum. Tonight on News Forum, cries of innocence from behind prison walls. Talk about conspiracy, cover-up, and corruption. We will be exposing a very flawed criminal justice system as we discuss power, prestige, police corruption, prosecutorial misconduct, and political interference, and the hidden agendas of a business deal and business partnership gone bad, and an innocent man blamed and framed. Brian Parnell was wrongfully convicted of murder in 2001. He has now been in prison for 20 years. Hear his compelling story of no witnesses, no murder weapon, unmatched DNA, a mysterious stocking cap left at the crime scene, and a partial fingerprint that was ran in Miami, Florida at a crime scene investigation conference 4 years after the murder. A partial fingerprint 4 years after the murder and over 1,000 miles away from the crime scene? Wow. Talk about corruption, conspiracy, and cover-up at its very finest. Hear Brian's compelling story told by his fiancée, my special guest, Karen Penny Johnson as we uncover the many flaws and hidden agendas in Brian's case and within our criminal justice system. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. And if you're listening via the World Wide Web tonight and you would like to talk to us live on the air, dial 516-453-9133 and press 1. Already listening via phone, press 1 to talk to us live. And now the host of News Forum, Chinchilla Jonesia.
Hey everybody, this is your girl Chinchilla. Welcome to another segment of News Forum. And so happy to be here tonight and for you all to join me tonight. We have a wonderful program in store tonight. And this is Cries from Behind Prison Walls. Cries of Innocence from Behind Prison Walls. While it's a good show tonight, an awesome show, but it is not awesome because a young man has been wrongfully incarcerated. So tonight we're here to expose more corruption, more conspiracy, and more cover-ups within this criminal justice system. And that song that was played, that was Ice Cube, and the song is called Corruption, Everything's Corrupt. And that is so true. And there was some profanity in that song. So, please excuse that profanity. But I thought that song was very fitting for tonight because of all of the corruption that this man has faced. Brian Parnell, his story is so very compelling. And tonight we're going to be talking to his fiance about his case. And also, we're also going to hear from Brian himself. Yes, he is incarcerated right now, wrongfully incarcerated behind bars, locked up. But guess what? We do have him on a voice clip. And you will definitely hear from him tonight. And you'll see that he is definitely in prison. Because when you hear him talk to us tonight, you will hear the sound of the prison. And, you know, if you've ever talked to anybody in prison, you know every few minutes they have the operator come on letting you know how much time you have left and that your call is being monitored and recorded and all of that stuff. So guess what? He is in jail wrongfully right now, and he's going to talk to us tonight. So before I bring my special guest on, who is Brian's fiance, Karen, we're going to hear from Brian tonight, because he has something that he wants everyone to hear tonight. So let's hear what Brian has to say tonight.
Hello, I'm Brian Parnell of West Philadelphia, and I'm reaching out to you guys from behind the wall, and I'm seeking help along with my family or any type of assistance that anybody can offer. My story is a painful one, but I believe that it must be shared with everybody out there that's listening, because this could very much easily happen to you or somebody that you know and love. The story, it goes like this. On September 18th of 2001, I was arrested and charged with the murder of a Westchester man that I never in my life met before, seen, had any interactions with of any type, let alone murder. When the police officers arrested me, they came up to me saying that, hey, I agents made a match on an unknown partial latent print found at the crime scene that matched yours. We also got the mask and the DNA and the stocking cap that, you know, was worn by the assailant. And we are more than sure that it matched you. And I'm like, whoa, that don't add up. And I know I didn't commit this type of crime. So I insisted that they retake my DNA, well, take my DNA to test it and compare it, and re-fingerprint me and double-check this, because I'm not that type of guy. I don't get down like that. Next thing I know, I'm being whooshed into the county jail. I was fingerprinted once on the ACES terminal.
This is a call from
Pennsylvania State Correctional Institution, Cole Township.
This call is subject to recording and monitoring.
And then again, for a second time, by the same police officer that processed the crime scene, collected all the fingerprint evidence, and then he turned around and fingerprinted me again. This time he used ink. Well, when the results came back from the DNA test excluding me, I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be over with. They're going to release me from custody. I'm going to be exonerated. My name clear. But the exact opposite happened. At this point in time, this guy came saying, well, I now got a second match on your right index finger. I'm saying to myself, this is impossible. I didn't have no idea of the technologies or capabilities of ACES at the time, which I eventually learned about. But the main thing that I want to stress to everyone that's listening to this, this could very much happen to you. So when you start looking into the facts of my case, and you start listening to my family members that's going to discuss the facts and particulars of my case, believe me, this is very much real. I'm incarcerated for 20 years for a crime that I truly didn't commit, based on partial fingerprint evidence that was not only subjected to weather, but tampering. At my trial, I had a two-day trial, and at my two-day trial, this detective admitted on open record that there were 11
Pennsylvania State Correctional Institution, Cole Township.
This call is subject to recording and monitoring.
That there were 11 other partial fingerprints, along with two palm prints. They asked this guy on the stand, did he compare them to me? He said yes. And then they said, well, they didn't match Mr. Parnell, did they? He said no, because it had rained heavy that night, and they damaged them. These fingerprint evidence that he's relying on was taken from a window screen, as well as the ledge that the window is located on. He claims that it rained heavy enough to damage all the other fingerprints except for those two. But he turned around and said, oh, yeah, I had to remove dirt, noise, and background distortions from these two. And he said it had little passages of water on them. This is tampering with evidence, and it's really, really, really corrupted measures that was taken in this whole entire case, not just from the partial fingerprint evidence, but so many more things that I learned after I got the discovery. But to make a long story short, because I know that you guys are going to call in and ask questions to my family, to make a long story short, the advancement of judges, district attorneys, as well as the funding from government funding that this little small township received behind my case is relevant. This is what I believe fueled and motivated these people framing me. So when you ask my family these questions and they give you answers, whatever you ask them, they're going to answer it. They have nothing to hide. You're going to see, and hopefully you'll be touched and moved to want to offer some type of help or assistance in any capacity that you can possibly think or fathom to do. Even if you think that you're so small and minor that you don't have it, believe me, it makes a difference. Try me. I need it. We need it. My family as well.
Wow. That was the voice of Brian Purnell, you know, sharing his heartfelt feelings with us tonight about his case. As I said, this case is very, very compelling, and it's very disturbing because of the partial fingerprints and where they were lifted from. And it took 4 years, okay, 4 years before they even ran the prints, and 4 years before a detective even did anything with the prints that were so-called lifted from the crime scene. And he flew all the way to Miami with the prints, when the prints could have been ran here in Pennsylvania, but he flew all the way to Miami to a criminal investigation conference. Really? I mean, that is so, so insane. So this whole case spells corruption for me, okay? It has all the trimming of corruption, of conspiracy, and of cover-up. So right now, we're going to bring on my special guest, Karen Penny Johnson, who is the fiance of Brian Purnell. We're going to bring her on now and let her talk to us more about Brian's case. All right. Karen, welcome to News Forum. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well, Chinchilla. I just want to say thank you for giving us this platform to speak and bring some awareness to Brian's case. You're doing an excellent job. I know in the state of Pennsylvania, you're bringing a lot of cases to light, just like Brian's, and I just want to thank you. And if I can ask, I do have his brother that is able to be on with me, Neil Purnell. Is he able to get unmuted as well?
Yes,
I'm
going to unmute him. I don't know if you want him on the same time as you or not.
Yes, that's fine. But, you know, Neil is Brian's brother, and he has a lot to say about his brother. You know, his mother was supposed to be on, but she's having some, like a little cold, and her voice isn't too well. But I wanted her to speak because there's nothing like a mother's love. And Mrs. Purnell knows Brian's case just as well as Brian does. She has studied it for years, and I really wanted her on tonight. But Neil is just as capable to speak on behalf of his brother as well.
Yes.
Okay, that's great. So, well, Neil, we're going to welcome you to the show tonight as well. So, Neil, welcome to News Forum. How are you tonight?
I'm doing very well tonight. I'm glad to be here, and peace and love to everybody that's listening. Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome. Okay, so, well, who wants to start? Who wants to start, you, Karen, or Neil?
Neil, you can go ahead.
Yeah, I don't mind. Brian was saying on that recording, you know, he was talking to in reference to, you know, what motivated he believes them to proceed and do the things that they did. What really happened was when it's a normal stereotypical format they go through. So if they want to close a case, and this was a big case and a lot of people had motive in it, so they went to a homeless shelter looking for my brother or anybody for whatever reason, okay? And when they found out that he wasn't in the homeless shelter, that's when they went to the school that he was attending. It was a Lincoln Tech diesel school. Engineering. And what happened was they locked him up. And when they locked him up, they had the DNA evidence, but 9/11 happened. Okay. And so all the DNA labs in the country were backed up for like about a year and a half, almost 2 years. So you got this guy locked up on DNA evidence. And now 2 years passed, year and a half, and it's not him. The DNA evidence doesn't match. So you got this guy locked up for a year and a half. Now, instead of just undoing the wrong that was done, no, everybody just rolled out and did what they had to do to cover it up. The judge became a federal judge. The two detectives retired. They actually built their whole careers. This was their championship. You understand? And they all took parts in it. I want everyone to know how corrupt it is. It's one thing when you hear about it. It's another when you see it and experience it. So I was in the courtroom when we found out that a lawyer was paid, was brought by them. He was brought out. So we fired him. The judge stopped the court proceedings and said, this is a private attorney we hired. We're paying this lawyer that we fired. The judge is going to say, the only way I'm going to allow another lawyer to come in testimony is if he works with this lawyer, the one that I fired. So I'm thinking, if I got to keep this lawyer in order to get new lawyers, who's going to pay this guy any more money? Because we're not giving him no more money. It's obviously he's on the take. The guy was disbarred. He was selling cases. He had a drug addiction. I believe that's what really funded, what really influenced and motivated these people to do this. They had him locked up already for over a year, year and a half. And they just jumped the gun. You know what I'm saying? It's been several cases out that way where guys were exonerated and let out, and it was the same. They did the same thing to these guys. That, you know, they had fingerprint match. Fingerprint matching and all that type of stuff is a science, okay? And it's about a science of opinion, not fact. It's an opinion. So when he was exonerated by the DNA, they knew that they had the wrong guy already. So much to the point that one of the lead detectives in the case, Stone, said this directly to my face. This is what he told me. He says, you know what? I don't believe your brother killed this guy. I believe he knows who did do it. My response was, my brother doesn't hang out with killers. You understand? He never met this guy in his life. But you're trying to tell me you're going to lock my brother for the rest of his life for something that you know he didn't do. It crushed me, and I've been living with this for the last 20 years. You understand? It's not one of the things you get over. It's one of the things you just learn to live with. And it comes and it bites you at certain times. You know, it could happen any time. But on an average night, you know, like I said before, I don't go to sleep early. It's hard to go to sleep because you have those things beckoning and hurting you from inside. It's not like I can go get the one bully and point them out. It's a system, you know. And I was talking to Brian, and he was saying this. In the streets, when people comprise and get together, especially with power and influence, there's a thing called a RICO Act. You understand? And no one never really thought about the RICO Act on the other side. When the judge works with the prosecutor, works with the detectives, you understand? He said they need a RICO Act against them, and he's correct. But I just hope that through all this, it's able to reach and touch someone where my brother can at least get exonerated and get out of prison, because he definitely doesn't belong to be in there, deserve to be in there, and he's been in there too long for this dumb stuff. And
That's 20 years. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that, Neil. At 20 years, that's a long time. And especially this is just ridiculous. No witnesses. And, you know, I read Brian's letter, what he wrote and all. And, you know, it's just really troubling to me because of the way this case, the way they handled this. And they know, right. I'm pretty sure, I know they know that he did not commit this crime. And according to the letter that I'm looking at now, you know, it had to be someone that he knew and someone he knew personally, because his wife said that she heard him talking with someone and they were not arguing. You know, it had to be someone he knew. And so had to be the one that shot him, because she said then after that she heard gunshots. And, you know, so this is just so very disturbing to me. What were you going to say, Neil?
According to the original discovery, he had a business partner, okay?
Yeah.
And whatever was going on between them, his business partner wanted him dead, okay? And so his business partner started soliciting to get this guy killed. And this all did, in those first 4 years, this is all what they were doing. They were really doing some homework. I think it just ran into to people that they didn't want to mess with or whether. I don't know. But after this guy got killed the next day, the guy comes in and says, I can't believe what I did. And I guess there was a detective, somebody that came to the place where it happened, the workplace that this guy owned. And they wanted, like, hair samples because they wanted to see if anybody at this workplace matched the hair in that stocking cap. All of his hair off. And so I guess the cops want to come back and wait for the hair to grow. He skips town, he leaves the country. He goes to Greece. So this is very deep. This could be some inside family thing with business. I don't know. But how my brother got caught up in this is business as usual what they do. Like I told you before, they went to a homeless shelter to get him. So I think they looked at all the fingerprints that the APHIS spit out and decided that, well, this is the black guy that looks like we could, you know, put this case on. He's in a homeless shelter. No one will miss him. He'll have no money for legal advice or support, and that's what they did. But they were wrong.
But he was never in a homeless
once
shelter.
Once they realized they were wrong, they continued.
Yeah, but he was never
in Karen?
He was never in a homeless shelter. We don't even know where
never.
He got that from. Never.
So they assumed he was in a homeless shelter.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
And you know,
wow,
over the years,
go ahead.
Over the years, like studying DNA and fingerprints, the research that I've done, you know, I really would like someone out there to look into what's called genetic genealogy. And this is how they caught the San Francisco Golden Gate Killer, and it was a popular DJ in Lancaster, PA, where they found gum at one scene and a water bottle. It's because they have the person's DNA who did this. So I'm looking for someone who can get this and do a genealogy. They tracked down family members of these two people who murdered these people, the San Francisco Golden Gate murderer and the DJ in Lancaster, PA. I'm looking for someone that can run that DNA test and locate family members and then possibly track down the killer. And that's something that I've been working on and trying to get someone to look into, because they have the DNA. And if they get that, if we can find that DNA and trace it to family and then trickle down to who actually ever did this. And that's what I'm working on right now. So I don't know if anybody out there knows of anybody who can do that, but that's something that we definitely need to look into.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea to do that. And, yeah, and then also with the partial fingerprints, there have been several cases that detectives have, obtained partial fingerprints. And one particular case was in Oregon, a man named Brandon Mayfield. He was arrested, and his fingerprint matched. And it matched a man in Algeria. And, you know, that handled one of the Madrid bombs. And the judge ruled that the partial print could not be used in a murder case. So, you know, partial prints, I guess it depends on the municipality and, you know, the state. And a lot of states, they do not allow partial prints to be, admissible in court for a murder trial. So this is really disturbing because of the partial print they took from that window. First of all, the things I have read over pertaining to the case, there was a lot of debris and all kinds of other stuff. So for them to actually get a print off of the window, it's like really, really amazing that they were able to even
pull
one.
Can I share something with you?
Yes.
I think they believe that partial print was minuscule in effect too, because in the case, when they were in trial and everything, they didn't show that. They showed the fingerprint, the full five printed, that they printed once they locked my brother up. They didn't even show the evidence that they had. They showed the print once they locked him up. So each time he had to come in to see a judge, that partial print became more and more until it became a whole hand. And that's what the jurors seen. They didn't see that partial print. They seen a picture blown up with his handprint of all five fingers up on a screen. They know that the fingerprint was nothing also. That's why they never said anything about the fingerprint at first. They were saying DNA. Then once the DNA went out the window, then that's when the fingerprints came into effect. And it became bigger and bigger and bigger the longer the case went on. They were trying to get anyone to help them. At the time, he had a girlfriend, and they would meet her outside her house. and they were wanted to talk to her. She was scared. She says, Neil, every time I come home, there's Stone and Martin, these detectives outside my house, and they keep telling me to come in because they want to talk to me. And I told them, I don't know anything about this. She said, this is what they said to her. There's a $30,000 reward on this case, okay? We can show you how to get that money. You don't know what you know. You know, she came to me, she got scared, and that's when they subpoenaed her in for sealed grand jury testimony. And oh, it was just nasty. You know, the judge sealed it. He didn't want anybody, I guess, to see what they were talking about. It was really nothing about the case. They were asking her, have you ever seen Brian torture animals? Does he like to kill cats? Does he beat the kids excessively? They were just trying to paint a violent picture of him, and they wanted her to do it. And so because she didn't do it, I think at the time she had to go on public assistance. They cut that off. They made it hard for a family. It gets deep, you know.
Wow,
they had the phone
tap
and
we were
going to court. It was just sick. It was just crazy.
Wow, that is like really something there. Now, the other thing I want to talk about is this stocking cap. And, you know, this case is very similar to one of the guests on my show last week where there was a stocking cap left behind. And the thing with the stocking cap, really, I mean, who is going to go into someone's home, shoot them, kill them, and then take off their stocking cap and leave it there for evidence? I mean, that's like, no one's going to do that because no one wants to, you know, be accused of the murder or to be caught. So no one's really going to leave that. If they have it on, why take it off and leave it in the house? I mean, that is just really ridiculous. So to me, it seems like there are certain detectives that they plant evidence and frame people and, you know, and this is what they've been doing because in a lot of these cases, that's what they have done. They have planted stocking caps and other articles of clothing, like someone's really going to leave that stuff behind. I mean, no one's going to take that off their head and leave it there. I mean, that's just crazy.
And all in still, the DNA still didn't match. So whatever DNA they had in the stocking cap was from some other people. I think they were quite cheap because normally they would leave the stocking cap and maybe a murder weapon there too, you know? Oh, boy.
Right. And then that's the other thing. So there's no gun, okay? So, and I think I read something also about the gun. That may have been another case, but with the gun, the guy that was the business partner of that, I think it was a pizza shop.
He had
a gun. Yeah.
Hmm.
And so did anything ever turn up or what happened with that?
Nothing ever turned up from that. I don't even know what happened to his business partner. Last I know is that, one guy left and went back to Greece, you know, so maybe they all had to go because the guy's wife, the guy that got murdered, his wife and the kids, I think they went back to Greece also after this, you know, so I don't know exactly how deep this goes, but I don't know if they left because, you know, the loss of their loved one and they were so hurt they were tired of America or they were threatened or fear that maybe what happened to him would happen to them if they didn't leave. You know, I just know however this murder pizzeria thing, Greece connection, my brother is not a murderer. So this never set right with me. But just to go through and see what the detective did, how the judge lied to me, it's your typical railroad case. But whatever they have to do to get the conviction, they'll do it. And that's what this showed me. Lie, cheat, steal, or kill.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's definitely, this is definitely a prosecutorial misconduct in this case, judicial misconduct, police corruption, all types of stuff. There's everything that, you know, they've done in this case that is just so very wrong. And so the victim, he was from Greece, and his business partner was also from Greece, huh?
Yes, but I mean, just errors, even in the detective's reports. You understand? One guy said he got shot in the back. The medical examiner said no, he got shot in the front. It exited through the back. One guy said the fingerprints was on a latch of the screen. Then one document says it was on the screen. So I mean, it's a lot of contradictions, and even in time, dates, days that these guys wrote in the report, they were in error. So. I just see how the system works, and they all work together to protect each other. You know, it's just that this one, they got the wrong. This fish they should have threw back.
All right. Stay right there, Brian and Karen. We're going to take a caller now because we have some people on the line waiting to get on. So we're going to take a caller. Caller, you're live on the air with News Forum. This is Chinchilla. How are you?
I'm doing great, Chinchilla. This is Terrence Strath. How you doing this evening?
I'm fine. How are you, Terrence?
I'm doing great. I'm really enjoying the show. It's a mess. But before I get going, I just want to congratulate News Forum anchor Chinchilla Jonesia on her ONE syndicated station all-time connection record with her 19th all-time, fourth consecutive, and the first host in ONE syndicated station history to surpass 7 million connections all time. Wow.
Wow. All right. That sounds good.
you set the table. Chinchilla, you set the table. how you like that?
Yes, I like that.
Okay. All right.
Congratulations.
Yep, you keep doing what you keep doing what you're doing. You're setting the bar. So I just want to comment briefly about what the guy was saying. I mean, this country sometimes it's a mess with this stuff. It's ridiculous with all of this stuff. I have a question. I want to ask, like, what is the incentive? You guys were saying that, you know, they got to find somebody, they got to put it on somebody. What is the incentive for the court systems or the municipalities to try to place, like why is all of this setting up happening? All this manipulation and setting up. What is the reason behind it all?
Okay. Now repeat that again, Terrence, because
I heard him.
A little trouble hearing you. Repeat it one more time.
What is the reason behind it all that you go through all of this stuff to set up somebody like that? You know, when you have the detectives involved, you have the court systems involved, and things like, what is the reason? You know, is it kickbacks? Is it quotas? Like what? Does anybody?
I think it depends.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I think it depends on each case, because you have some cases that detectives know who the actual perpetrator was or is. And they try to cover it up because sometimes it's a family member, it's a close friend of the family, you know, and so they will try to do all they can to cover it up and to frame someone else so that their loved one won't, you know, take the fall for the crime that they actually committed. So, you know, and it's so sad that people do these type of things, but there are a lot of cases that actually happens, and, you know, I've seen it. And then there are some times when, you know, when we're dealing with racist prosecutors and attorneys and judges and police departments, they will frame a black person in a minute, okay, just to close the case. Sometimes they will just get anybody they can to take the fall. And that's what happens a lot of times as well. So, but it depends on, I guess, where you are. And Westchester is definitely a racist county out there in Chester County, and in Westchester, it's a racist county. And unfortunately, this is what happens here in America, and it's just so very sad, and it's absolutely tragic, actually, because we have all of these men and women wrongfully incarcerated, and like Brian for 20 years. Then we have some that have been in there for 30, 40, 50 years longer. And it's like, you know, these racist people, they don't care. They don't care how they've stripped these people away from their families, from their livelihood, from everything else, from out of society, and locked them away for the rest of their lives for a crime that they did not commit. And we do have some situations where it's actually a mistake that they were wrongfully convicted, but they were convicted because the jury felt as though they were guilty. And then, again, with some of these juries, the jurors, a lot of black men, they do not have a jury of their peers. And, you know, it's supposed to be, you know, you're supposed to be tried by a jury of your peers. But if you look in a lot of these cases and you look at the jurors, most of them are white jurors. A lot of them are older white people. And, you know, and it's sad, but these are the facts. And it's a shame. So I don't think that that's fair, and I feel as though if you're not giving a fair trial, to me a fair trial would be to actually definitely have a jury of your peers, and, you know, if not, it's flawed because of racism, and it's just a grave injustice that happens here in America. So I hope that answers you. I hope that clears some of the things up for you. And, but those are my speculations, and some of them are actually from experience, from, my line of work when I used to be an attorney. So these things are like, it happens, and I've seen it, and, you know, it's just a shame. Wow.
And, Chisella, can I add
so much? Yes.
One of the things that we didn't mention, it reminded me last week of Victoria speaking on her case. The arresting officers knew the business owners, and they had traveled with them prior to his murder. And they knew him.
And his wife.
Yes.
Okay, so they knew, the detectives knew the owner and his wife.
Yes, and had traveled with them to Maryland.
Now, is that the victim or is that the business partner?
The victim.
The business partner. The detectives went to Maryland with the business partner. And what it was about or anything, it doesn't say in the report. It just said they took a trip to Maryland. But it was rumored that one of the officers was real familiar with this guy's wife. And all this is, is made reference in the original discovery. So they had a personal interest in this case.
Yeah. So that's similar to what I was just saying. You know, it's just so sad. But we're going to take another call in a second. But I just want to mention Tara Strength. He's a host on this station as well. And last year he was the 2020 Linear New Host of the Year. And so that was an awesome accomplishment for Tara Strength last year. So I just wanted to mention that to you all. So thank you, 2020 Linear New Host of the Year, Tara Strength, for calling in tonight. All right, we're going to take another caller. Caller, you're live on the air with News Forum. How are you tonight? Caller, you're live on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes. Is this Brian's mother?
Yes. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. I wanted to add a little something to that. Like Brian, my son Neil was saying, Brian was arrested 2018, 2001. And before he was arrested, the day he went to Lincoln Tech, he was going to school for automobile mechanic. And when they arrested him early that morning, and I received a call that night around about 9 o'clock that night from this detective informing me that my son, they found a partial print of a fingerprint on my son's left index finger at a crime scene, murder crime scene. Well, it is a lot of discrepancies. If there's anyone out there that have a lot of information that could please call us and help to try to sort through this madness to get my son out of this mess. He was on crutches when this crime occurred. And I don't know, he's not Superman, but you cannot murder anyone on crutches and run through a house. My son was on crutches way before the crime occurred. So,
wow.
If you can, yes, just contact us. You have the information. Just contact us. We need all the help we can. We've been battling this for a long time, and we're still battling it. But I thank you for listening.
Oh, sure. I thank you for calling and getting on here tonight. Thank you so much for sharing that. And, yeah, and if your son was on crutches, I mean, this is so many different things that, you know, that the attorney, his defense attorney, did not introduce, did not even talk about in court. And, you know, and for the judge, as Neil has said, for the judge to want you all to keep that same judge, I mean, that same lawyer who was not a good lawyer at all, and you were hiring another lawyer, but yet the judge wanted you to go ahead and keep the other lawyer. I mean, that's so very wrong, too, because it should be the defendant's choice. So that is just very sad, very sad. I'm going to go ahead to the next caller now. Caller, you are live on the air with News Forum. How are you tonight?
Fine. How are you?
I'm fine.
Hello? Good.
Yes.
First, I want to, this is Ms. Beatty from CABBY. I want to thank you for telling these stories because they need to be heard. I'm not a lawyer or anything, and all the things that they've described, things like this happen, it's because corruption, racism, and when they don't find the right perpetrator that did the murder, they're going to go after somebody of color.
Yes.
And then people have a tendency of saying, well, this system is broken. No, the system was built to do exactly what it's been doing since it's been built, and that's putting all our people of color, incarcerate them as long as they possibly can so they can make their money and their profits off their backs. They don't care if they're innocent or not. So, and what we need to do is break the system. We need to break this system from the ground up. You know, and that's why a lot of people are upset at Krasner, because Krasner don't play. If you're a corrupt police officer, he ain't got no qualms with sticking you in jail like a regular person. You know, and these are people in authority that take their authority and think that they're above God in authority. It's what they say, how they say it, and they cover each other up. Because any time even a judge won't sit here and let you have your own lawyer, something smells bad. And then you have a fingerprint that you didn't find when it happened, but you happen to find a half a fingerprint 4 years later. You know, it's crazy, and my heart breaks for the mother. My heart truly breaks for her. And I hope there's someone on this line is listening that can give this family some type of help. Thank you so much for letting me speak.
Thank you, too, DB, for calling in.
I would like to add, Ms. DB is a fighter. She is a fighter, and she is fighting for all lifers, including her son. And she does a wonderful job. And I thank you for calling in, Ms. Beattie.
To God be the glory,
thank you so much.
You know I'm there for you.
Thank you. I love you, girl.
All right. God bless you, Ms. Beattie. All right. That, you know, what she said was is definitely something to think about, because a lot of these jails. Well, we know that the jails, a lot of them, you know, they're in it for profit, and we do have some private prisons, but then the ones that are run by the state, they make a lot of money off of these inmates, and especially the lifers, and, you know, you get cheap labor, you know, they get money to house them and everything else, and, you know, it is just so sad, and they would rather keep black men in prison than to send them free. And it would be cheaper because not only will they make money off of these inmates, but then they're still spending money because it costs money to keep them in prison. And it's more to keep them in prison than it is to let them go free. But, hey, we have twisted people running our government. We have twisted politicians, twisted lawyers and judges, and it's just so very sad, so very sad. We're going to take another caller. Caller, you're live on the air with the News Forum. How are you tonight? Caller, you're live on the air. All right.
All right,
well,
caller.
We'll come back.
We're going to go to the next caller. There you go. Another caller. You're on live right now, News Forum with Chinchilla Jonicia.
Hi, caller. You're on the air.
Okay.
All right, people, when you press one, it means you want to talk.
It's okay.
Okay.
I got you, Chisella. We got the next caller. Call you on the line right now, News Forum right here at ONE.
Can they hear me? Do I know if I'm on the line? Can you hear me?
You're on the line right now. Yeah, just speak. Just speak. We got you.
Okay. Hi, guys. How are you? Thanks. I'm glad to get on your call. I'm glad you're having this call because I've been hearing you, the host, thank you, and your guests or your speakers, and guess what? Everyone's ready. Taxpayers, family members, and friends, you're the boss. You said we have twisted politicians. No, they're twisted employees. We are the boss. They are employees. So I like to offer this as a couple of suggested solutions. Hi, my name is Flava. I am a social reformist, and we're about to launch Rights Restoration Radio and Taxpayer of Taxpayers for Change. Why? Because we taxpayers are uninformed that there's no such thing as a felon, a formerly incarcerated citizen, or a returning citizen. Everyone is a felon, and we're tired of this second chance crap. It's time served. And for people who are incarcerated, your loved ones and your family members, they're the boss. So anything we need to do, I'm hoping to drop my info, 866-909-2929. That's a national number for inmates and family members to contact us so that we can combine our taxpayer dollars and our forces, because the president, the governors, senators, representatives in Congress, all judges, all prosecutors, they're all, the police, they're all employees. We pay their salaries. And we need to have victories. We are the boss, not them. Politicians are employees, and we can have citizen oversight committees, and we need divisions for wrongful convictions and over-sentencing. So I thank you. I don't want to take too much time, but if you have any questions, again, my name is Flava. I'm a social reformist. I'm also a reentry employment specialist in Florida. I work in the prisons, but I don't work for them. So we have family members trying to help their loved ones, not realizing they are the boss, not the prison secretary. Their job is to incarcerate inmates. They are not the boss. Neither is the governor. So please stop allowing your political employees or police to disrupt, corrupt, and discriminate against us. Thank you.
Right. But thank you so much for calling in. And you can shoot me a message in my inbox on Facebook. If you're on Facebook, at Chinchilla Jonicia. And, yes, I would like to talk to you further, so definitely shoot me an inbox on Facebook, or you can give me a call at 973-833-3793. All right. We're going to go to another caller. Caller, you're live on the air with News Forum. How are you tonight? Caller, you're live on the air.
Can you hear me?
Yes. We can hear you. Okay.
All right. All right. We'll go to the next caller right now.
Okay. We're going
caller,
to keep
you're
moving.
Caller, you're live right now with News Forum. Yeah, News Forum with Chinchilla Jonesa right here at Oney Dynasty.
Good evening, Chinchilla.
Good evening. Hey, Karen.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good, good, good. I'm just listening in tonight. I'm sorry that I missed last week's show with Victoria. I missed last week too. Again, thank you. And I just wanted to say a personal hello to Karen Penny Johnson for what she's doing for her fiance Brian. And it's basically very comforting to know that there's so many of us out here. And I thank you for doing this. And like Ms. Dee Dee said, for bringing this to the forefront. Each and every week, it seems like this is growing into a massive number of people in Pennsylvania. More and more people are coming out of the woodwork with these wrongful convictions. And I don't think that the audience is quite aware of the impact and just how many people are wrongly convicted. I just want to share one piece of data with the audience and with yourself. There was a report done on the Innocence Project, I believe, last year in 2020. That suggests that 2 to 5% of those incarcerated are innocent people. 2% of that would be 40,000 people are spending time in prison for crimes that they did not commit. And in the past 30 years, there's been more than 2,000 exonerations of innocent inmates or innocent persons of the United States. And with that, you know, people like myself and Karen Penny Johnson and Victoria, we're suffering with our loved ones, and we're fighting huge corruption and cover-ups. Just like you said, there's things that people are hiding. You figure 20, 30 years someone's incarcerated, and like the person said, that's time served normally. You know, take a situation like my husband, he's been in for 30 years, meritus, and fighting tooth and nail. It was like he was reconvicted all over again 6 weeks ago, simply for, exercising the opportunity to be commuted based on something that he's earned. It's harder to release an innocent person than it is to release a guilty reform person. And, you know, a guilty reform person is still a person, and it deserves to prove themselves and to come home. No one should not be given the opportunity to come home to change. And that's what prison should be about. It should be about reform and change and improvement.
Yes.
And I just wanted to share that with you tonight. It's just so – it's horrible that you have to fight. And sometimes you wonder, how can you explain or defend a lie? How can you? And when there's so many lies and so many things going against you. I just want to say that, and I just want to thank everybody for continually to support people like ourselves in this fight. Thank you.
You're welcome, Karen. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing tonight. Wow. All right. Now, I want to talk some more about the case here, Neil and Karen, because some of the things I read in the case about the guy that, the business partner, he was willing to pay someone to kill the victim. And the police knew about that, and they did nothing about that. And there just is so many things that they did not do, as well as saying it was a burglary gone wrong. But, however, $5,000 was left on the desk and not touched. So if it was a burglary, the burglar would have definitely taken the money if they came there to rob the victim. So these things are all questionable. There are so many red flags in this case, from the wife, saying that her husband was talking and like it was someone that he knew. And, you know, it was no heated argument, no argument, no anything, no loud voices or nothing. So this is just so disturbing to me with all of this that really proves that Brian could not have done this. And, you know, first of all, why would Brian even be in Westchester at this man's house? And he didn't even know him. And then they went from saying Brian acted alone to him being an accomplice. So, I mean, this is all just so crazy. And then 11 prints that they gathered. And, you know, did they even try to match any of those prints to the database? No. Did they try to do anything? Did they run those prints? So all of these questions, you know, they need to be answered. But the one print that they did use is the partial print. And a partial print, they knew that, hey, they could not conclusively say that that was Brian's print. And the other prints that they lifted that were full prints, they knew that those would not match Brian's fingerprints. So they did not even bother with introducing those, which is just a shame, a real shame. And there should be somebody that is willing to look at this case, because this case, as far as I can see, it has all of the evidence that's needed for Brian to be exonerated, because this is total corruption, total conspiracy, total frame and cover-ups and everything else. And it's just so sad, and it's very disgusting to me. So, Karen, now...
Let me tell you what the officers did.
Uh-huh.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I think it was 2011, before Brian went back into court with the Innocence Project, the two officers drove 6 hours up to the prison to try to get Brian to confess, telling him not to stop wasting everybody's time and money. But if you know you had an airtight case, years later, I think it was 2011, 12, I may be wrong, Neil maybe could correct me, but it was right before he went back to court to ask to tell him, stop wasting people's time, just confess to us so we can put this to rest, blah, blah, blah. If you knew you had an airtight case, why would you travel from Westchester to Waynesburg, Pennsylvania, to sit down face-to-face and talk to Brian? Like, really? Like, I mean, what was that supposed to accomplish?
Wow.
I really think
that's crazy.
I really think that they were trying to make sure that all their loose ends were tied, okay? So when you know that you did something wrong, you have to see this thing through to make sure that any of the dirt that you did doesn't come back up. So even up to my brother's appeals for this case, you have a federal judge appointing the judge that takes his appeal case. That's how deep this goes. So the judge knew he was wrong. And so to make sure that he's covered and dot his I's and keeps everything abrush the way it is to appoint his friend as the judge that oversees my brother's appeal case.
Mm. Oh, my goodness. That is so very sickening. Very sickening. Wow. That's sickening. Oh, boy. Well, we're going to take another caller. Caller, you're live on the air with News Forum. How are you tonight?
Hi, Chinchilla. How are you tonight? This is Angela calling from Atlanta.
Hey. Hey, Angela, how are you?
I just want to call and thank you for the amazing job that you do in bringing notice to what's going on with our prison system and those behind bars. I thank you for bringing this to our knowledge. I thank you so much for what you do, because you don't have to you do, and I thank you.
You're because welcome. I'm glad to be
you never
to
know you never know when your family member may be that person. So I thank
That's
you
right.
I truly thank you for what you're doing, because there's so many people that are affected by this. I did not realize that there were so many people, and what you're doing, it's not just Philadelphia and in Pennsylvania area. It's a lot of people in different states that's been affected by the same thing, and it's sad. It's heartbreaking and it's sad.
Yes, yes.
And I thank you
yes,
so
sure
much
is.
For what you're doing.
You're welcome.
So keep
you're
up
welcome.
The great work. Keep up the great work.
All right. Thank you very much, Commissioner Angela Thomas-Smith. And Angela Thomas, she has a show on this network as well, and she is actually commissioner of this network. Thank you so much for those wonderful words of encouragement and everything. And, yes, everybody, there are many men and women all around this country that are wrongfully incarcerated. And while we have a lot of people in Pennsylvania that do come on a show, but there are other people all around this country as well. Last week, the lady was from Arizona. Her brother was wrongfully incarcerated in Arizona. We had people wrongfully incarcerated in Atlanta. We've had people wrongfully incarcerated in different states, in New York. And so, yes, this show is for everybody. So you don't have to be in the same state I am in. You can be anywhere because this is News Forum syndicated radio show. So we're all over the world. And these things happen, not just here in this country, but it also happens around the world as well. But we don't really hear about that stuff. But we hear about this stuff every single day with all of these wrongful, incarcerated men and women. It's just really ridiculous, and it really, really aggravates me to no end. All right, we're going to go to another caller. Caller, you're live on the air with News Forum. How are you tonight? Caller, you're live on the air.
Hey, how y'all doing? Do you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Hello.
This is Christopher Parnell. Yeah, my name is Christopher Parnell. I'm Brian's oldest nephew. And really wanted to call and thank you for everything that you're doing and spread light. Because, a lot of people, I'm 33, and there's a lot of people my age, and my uncle Brian's like a dad to me. So it's like, the system will put a man in jail and then take him away from the youth where we really had, and he's a loving, caring dude. I looked at him like a father figure, an uncle, a bigger brother, and it was like at a valuable time in my life, he was taken away when I was 15. And it was like I had to learn a lot of things on my own. I had to deal with anger problems. I had to deal with trauma.
Oh, I can't hear you anymore.
Okay, I don't know what happened to him.
Are you still there? Okay, so that was Christopher Bryan's nephew. All right,
that's
to another
a shame. That's a shame. He was about to get into the nitty gritty. Call in line. Right
I
now.
Know.
Form. Chinchilla Donicia.
Call back. All right, caller, you're live on the air.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, Chinchilla. I'm Brian Parnell Jr. I'm Brian's son and the eldest of his three children. First and foremost, I'd like to thank you for extending your platform to the family. It's a really tough situation for us. I can't explain to you how bad this, tore my family up, He got arrested a week before my 8th birthday.
Wow. Brian, let me ask you, how old were you when your dad was wrongfully incarcerated?
I was 7 years old.
Wow. And how old are your other siblings?
My brother and sister were both 2 years old.
Wow. Twins?
No, not twins. They're a few months apart.
Okay. All right. 11 months apart, probably. Yeah, I have a few kids that are 11 months apart. My heart goes out to you, Brian, and to your siblings and to your whole family, because the system has terribly wronged you. What did you say, Brian?
Am I muted?
Brian?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Yes.
Gosh, it's probably just some kind of cell phone issue. Yeah, it was definitely devastating, to spend time with someone and then they're just going like that and then you don't know what's going on at the same time. You're young, you like, he'll be back home soon. He'll be home the week after, the next week. And then you got to keep on going to see him. You see him behind the glass. It's unbearable, you know, especially as a child. And then my siblings, they don't even know what's going on. They're too young to understand that he's probably never going to be back in their lives again. I have children now, and they can't even get to see him. It's terrible. Hey, baby. Mm-hmm. No, you can't talk right now. Because you can't.
Wow.
Okay, just go sit
no,
down.
No, that's your baby.
Yeah, that's my oldest child.
Well, I would say try to, you know, keep a positive attitude and try to encourage your siblings to also keep a positive attitude, you know, because a positive attitude would say, okay, yes, he will be back home one day, you know, and just believe that in your heart that eventually something's going to give and, you know, the truth will be shed. And the truth cannot stay hidden forever. So the truth will definitely come to light. And I just hope and pray it's not like years and years and years and years from now, but that it will be soon. Yeah. Wow. Thank you so much for calling in tonight, Brian. Wow. All right. Okay, so Neil. Brian is your older brother or younger brother?
Brian is my one and only younger brother. You know, that's
okay.
All I have, and I'm all he has.
Okay. No sisters?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I have sisters, but as far as, you know, my brother, no, I have three other sisters. It's three of us all together.
Okay.
But
okay.
He was, you know, he was my brother, my best friend, and. Son, they took everything away from me, you know, but I'm not sad. Brian is, listen, when I get down and heart-stricken and weighed down, he is the one who picks me up. I mean, every time I talk to him, he's full of energy. He keeps me smiling. He keeps me positive. He tells me this, my body is locked up, but my mind and spirit isn't. You understand? So he's able to get out of those walls. With the type of heart and spirit he has, he's give you everything he got until the last breath is out of his body. That's how he is. He's just I'm blessed to have a brother like him. You know, I say I have the best brother in the whole world, and then he calls me a liar because he says he has the best brother in the whole wide world. So,
wow,
that's one for debate.
Wow. Now, I'm going to ask you, how would you describe Brian's personality and everything, not when he was out, but like how he is now? How would you describe him? And then, Karen, I'm going to ask you the same thing as well.
Okay. Not just because he's my only brother. I'm proud of him. Okay, so you're put in a situation where your life is taken away from you. You're locked up for something you didn't do. This guy made the best of his situation, studied law. He could probably sit down in school a couple of judges. He's like a Johnny Cochran to me. That's how much he knows law. So what I'm saying is this, that's all he had. So he mastered that. Okay, so in prison, you know, you all the physical stuff is taken away from you. You have no freedom. So instead of him going inward, he made the best of the situation. I really feel when my brother Duke gets out, all the people and lives that he touched in prison, because their life will never be the same again. They're going to miss him. They're going to miss, just like we miss him out here, when he leaves inside there, they're going to miss him. You know, at certain prisons, the guards would come and say, "We know your brother's not this type of dude. We're around criminals and killers all day. Your brother didn't deserve this." And it's just, he's a testament of the human spirit to survive and to love and to live. He's a loving person. You understand? Spent a lot of his younger years in South Carolina growing up. He and I got a close connection to people, nature. When I say nature, I mean sand, ants, fish, trees. We had BB guns, and we went out hunting, and we shot a squirrel one time. And it really turned something in us. So we took the BB guns. Instead of shooting squirrels and animals, we would shoot bottles, sticks. We just the one thing that really upsets me is what he's locked up for. Something that he would never do in 100 years. Murder. And they built their careers off the incarceration of my brother. And that's what really happened. That was their motive. This guy's locked up, and if we don't do this, this could be our career because somebody's going to have to pay for it. One of the jurors said he was young. All the jurors were much older than him, but there was one younger guy around his age, and he came to my sister and he said, "I'm sorry." He said, "This is the way they had it," and then he walked away.
Wow, that's really crazy. All right, Karen.
But every yeah, go ahead. You're good.
Go ahead, Neil.
Finish your stand. Well, everything in this case that you see in the movies, everything this they did everything in this case. Tamper with information, with evidence, cops lying, even jailhouse informants. When they locked them up, they tried to give a guy reduce his sentence that was in a cell with my brother. To have him say that my brother was bragging about it, about, you know, killing this guy and everything. And the guy got pissed off because whatever these detectives promised this kid, they didn't give to him. So he told my brother he would sign a sworn statement that, you know, that he lied and that this never happened because they reneged on the deal, whatever they gave him. So everybody had something to gain out of this case. And that's what I'm saying. Everybody had motive.
Yeah. All the hidden agendas is what I call hidden agendas. It's so sad. All right, Karen, how would you describe Brian?
Brian, he is just a positive person, even in this situation. He's always been positive. I met Brian about 2.5 years before he was incarcerated. And we would, you know, hang out and we would just have fun. And he became my best friend. And there was a situation with my nephew tried to commit suicide. And I got the phone call, and we were out. And Brian is that type of person that was just like, come on, let's go. What do we have to do? Come on, let's go get him. He was always by my side. I went through a tragedy in my life where I found out some things in my life, and Brian was right there. And our motto was, we'll be friends to the end. And we built our friendship on that. And I could talk to Brian about anything and everything. And he would always give an objective answer, a positive answer. And he'll say, you know what, if it's something that he didn't like, he'll say, what's the saying is, that's not for you, or that's not for us. Or that's not what we need. And he was always friendly. I mean, to everybody, wherever we would go, he was always smiling. Sometimes I told him he was too doggone friendly, but that's just the way he is. In prison, I'll piggyback on what Neil said, I have seen the guards when he was going up to court in 2011 or 2012. Walk in the visiting room, we rooting for you, Parnell. We rooting for you, Parnell. You're a good dude, Parnell. And then when he got transferred to Cole Township, there was a guard that I really didn't care for. And Brian didn't bother with him, you know. But Brian told me, he says, yo, we got to lay off dude. You know, you stop giving him the dirty looks because some of the guys on his block was acting up. And he said, Karen, dude, that guard there, you know what he told the guys? Yo, can you all be more like Parnell? And just chill out. Model Parnell. You know, he doesn't bother anybody. He doesn't get into any mess. He walks away from stuff. And since I've known him, that's what Brian has done. He likes peace. He doesn't like confusion. He will walk away in a heartbeat because he doesn't like mess. He has a heart of gold.
And he just, like I said, he will be my friend to the end, regardless.
Wow.
Will always
wow.
be my friend. And we talk
That's
about it no matter
so
path. We will always stay friends.
All right. That's so beautiful. Well, we have another call. I'm going to take the last caller for the night, and then we're going to go into Ngozi time. But let's take this last caller. Caller, you're live on the air with News Forum. How are you? Caller, you're live on the air. Are you there? Okay.
Caller?
Well, I guess the last caller is not there.
All right. Well,
all right.
Of course, I'm going to come on right now. And Brian Purnell is a hero for what he has stood for in his life, love, honor, and respect. In a situation that is sad for all of the young men that have been wrongfully incarcerated in the world, but not only in the world, but people that we know. I want to send a special shout out to a friend of mine back in California, where I'm from. His name is Ronald Martin. Chinchilla, he's been incarcerated now for 37 years for a crime that he did not commit. First time I mentioned this, of course, I am CEO Oladele Malewa Ngozi. Karen Neal, I love, you know, your heartfelt, you know, fight for your loved one. Young man I grew up with, I'm back home in Compton, and he's in the wrong place at the wrong time. He wasn't a gangbanger like I used to be, you know, out there being the miscreant. He was an innocent guy going to school, trying to get an education. And he was in the wrong place at the wrong time, Chinchilla. And he's doing almost 40 years for a crime that he did not commit. Only Dynasty is about love, honor, and respect, you know, for people that deserve to be, for their story to be told. And for Chinchilla Jonicia to do these things, we don't censor our hosts. We give them the honor and the opportunity to be able to do their work. Do their work on time, regardless of whatever it is. Right, Chinchilla? We will continue to do that as long as Only Dynasty is here. And we're going to be here for a long time. Congratulations.
Yes.
My girl, Chinchilla J, on her 19th Only syndicated station all-time connection record, fourth consecutive. And the first host ever to hit 7 million listening connections around the world all time. Tomorrow night, we're blessed, right, Chinchilla, to have the 2020 International Internet Radio Broadcasting nominee for the Hall of Fame, Miss Antonia Batts, an informational guru, a person that has been with us for more than 8 years, being able to share her vision and her love for broadcasting like no other. Here at this network, the most tenured host. And, of course, that show, of course, it is 9 o'clock Eastern. Daylight time on these ONE stations. And, of course, you know, the wonderful Devon Nation's advertising to ONE, which is Oladele and Ghost Enterprise, reach, of course, at www.lookingglassentertainment@wordpress.com, as well as in Ghosty Prime Time 1 at bevnet.com. We're in Ghosty Time both for Twitter and Instagram, Oladele and Ghosty at Pinterest and Google+. Oladele Malewa Ngozi at Facebook, as well as our business page, News Forum, as well as the historic Beverly Nation Online Radio established 2013. And any comments, suggestions to our wonderful program tonight, oladele.ngozi@gmail.com. And I am your mother and father's favorite producer, Oladele Malewa Ngozi, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Force Radio that support us on a constant basis tonight. Chinchilla, you have 2 minutes left to go on the program.
All right. Thank you so much, Brother O. And sorry to hear about your friend. Wow, 37 years wrongfully incarcerated. Whoa. Wow. And Brian, my heart goes out to you. And it just goes out to you, Brian. Just stay strong in there and keep being the person that you are. And to Brian Jr., stay strong, stay positive, and make sure you keep your sisters positive as well, your sister and your little brother. And to Neil, God bless you, and God bless you, Karen, for coming on tonight, sharing Brian's story and letting us know more about Brian and about this case of corruption. And I also thank Mrs. Corrine Parnell, Brian's mother, for coming on, sharing as well also. And for all the other callers that called in tonight, thank you so much for calling in. Karen Brookins, who also has her husband is wrongfully incarcerated for 30 years. And, wow, and thank you, Angela Thomas-Smith and Tara Strength, also for calling in tonight. And Dee Dee and everyone else, if I forgot your name, I am so sorry. But thank you all for calling in tonight. And, wow, there's a lot of work to be done to change this criminal justice system. There's a lot to be done. And we cannot do it alone. We need more and more people to come together, to work together for the same purpose, to change this corrupt criminal justice system. And it's corrupt. It's terrible. It's corrupt. And we're going to see what we can do to make some changes, and some serious ones at that, because a lot of people talk and meet and nothing gets accomplished, because this criminal justice system is still very flawed and very corrupt. We need more progressive district attorneys, more progressive politicians out there that will make a change and will not be afraid to stand up for what is right and fight against racism, fight against bigotry and all of that nonsense that we have been facing here in this country from the beginning of this country. Because it was founded on corruption and deceit and murder and theft. Time for America to change. But it starts with you and it starts with me, okay? You and I, we have to be the ones to make a change. And we are trying to change this system. So with that said, everybody, I thank you so much tonight for tuning in to News Forum. And I will see you next week, same time, same place. And again, you know how to reach me, 973-833-3793. All right, and we want to give a rest in peace or a moment of silence for Black Rob, because he passed away. For those of you that did not know, he passed away. And it's so sad. 8 days after DMX passed, Black Rob passed. And last week, Black Rob, he gave shout-outs and prayers for DMX while he was on his sickbed as well. They were both in the hospital, and now they're gone. And it's so sad, so sad. And as I said in the intro, that usually deaths like those come in threes. And it's so sad. So, you know, you have to think about who's going to be the next rapper. And they're all around the same age. And this happened when Prince died. And, well, that's a whole another topic for another day. So let me stop right there. But anyway, my heart goes out to his family, Robert Ross. My heart goes out to your family. And, oh, my gosh, it's a sad time. Sad time for those people that are into the hip-hop era. And from that era, and I listened to some of his music today, and I have to say that I had not listened to his music before because I wasn't into rap, and when he was out, I was into, like, church stuff and didn't listen to rap, but I listened to some of his stuff today, and I must say I did like some of his stuff. So my heart goes out to his family, and we're going to leave tonight with a song by Black Rob. So thank you again, people, for tuning in tonight. Karen and Neil, be blessed. All of you be blessed and have a productive week on purpose. This is your girl, Chinchilla. I'm out.